God. Happy Sabbath. It's always good to be in the house of the Lord on the Lord's Day, right? Amen. God is good in spite of all that's happening around us. God is good and He is faithful, right? Amen. Amen. Now, I am the ram caught in the thicket. With all that's going on in my life, I had no intention of preaching. But at 7 o'clock this morning, I was told our elder couldn't make it or something. And so I was called upon. And I said, Lord, have your way. Have your way. You are the potter, and I am the clay. Amen. Amen. And so here I am. Basically, what I'll be bringing this morning is the word that God gave to me during my time. So if you don't mind, I'll be sharing my devotion with you. And I hope that it will touch somebody's life, it will inspire somebody, it will help somebody to hold on, maybe improve somebody's faith, help you to hold on stronger in God, whatever you're going through. There's always a word for us, and I'm always encouraged by other people's testimony, so I hope you will be encouraged by this word, amen? And the word that we'll be focusing on this morning is found in Lamentations. You see where I'm coming from? Because I've been lamenting. It's found in Lamentations, and that's the book in the Bible, and it's after Jeremiah. Lamentations chapter 3. And that's one of the passages I normally go to when I'm going through my time. So, Lamentations chapter 3, and I will be reading verse 15 through 18. Lamentations chapter 3, so that's Jeremiah, then Lamentations. 15 through 18. And it says, He has filled me with bitterness. He has made me drunken with wormwood. He hath also broken my teeth with gravel stones, and He hath covered me with ashes. And You have removed my soul far off from peace. I forgot prosperity. And I said, My strength and my hope is perished from the Lord. My strength and my hope is perished from the Lord. Today I'll be bringing a word that's entitled, Standing Strong When Discouraged. Standing strong when discouraged. Let's pray. Father God, we thank You for being the God who You are. The one who creates something out of nothing. The one who spoke and it was done, who commanded and it stood forth. We thank You for being who You are. We thank You for calling us out of darkness into this marvelous light where we can experience who You are, experience Your love, Your undying love for us. So even as we spend these few moments in honor of Your commands that we should keep Your day holy, as we spend these moments worshiping You, fellowshipping with each other, we ask that Your Spirit will rest, remain, and abide with us. And let Your word go forth, not from me, but from Your throne, God, that will make us a people prepared to be with You when You come. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Broken, ashamed, feeling hopeless, discouraged. These are words that are all too familiar to this 44-year-old woman, Cynthia Joaquin Haim. I don't know if many of you remember the story in 2013. She was a 44-year-old woman, $122,000 a year paid Manhattan State Supreme Court attorney who did the unthinkable on March 13 in 2013. She strapped her 10-month-old baby to her chest and leaped from the 8th floor of her building. Why? Broken, ashamed, feeling discouraged, feeling hopeless. See, she left a 13-page note explaining the guilt she felt over the previous incidents in which she had her child fallen from her. One when Keston, her baby, fell from the playpen onto a wooden floor. Another occasion, he rolled off the bed. And then she believed these were the reason why her baby was suffering from so many seizures and concussions, even though the doctor assured her that wasn't the case. She struggled with that feeling that she'd injured her baby for life. And she was convinced she was the one who was at fault. She became so depressed, so discouraged by her repeated failure, so disheartened that she wanted no longer to live, no longer to go on, broken, ashamed. Many of you, I think you know the story, but the little boy, surprisingly, was saved. She died, but the little baby was saved. I don't know what happened afterwards, but that moment, he did not die. Broken, ashamed, feeling hopeless. And there are so many people today, we see what's going on in California, you guys mentioned it, so many things that's going on. Election just went through and some people didn't like the way it went, discouraged. And people have these feelings on a daily basis, day in, day out, feeling that stem from the big question, how did we get to this? How did I get to this point? See, the word in Lamentations, the first word in the book of Lamentations is the Hebrew word ikah, which means how. And it is no surprise that Jeremiah, the author of this book, the prophet who was called the weeping prophet, the discouraged prophet, that he started out with this question, how? How lonely, chapter 1, verse 1, how lonely sits this city that was full of people? How like a widow is she who was great among the nations? Chapter 2, verse 1, again, the same question. How has the Lord covered the daughter of Zion with a cloud of anger? How? But you see, Jeremiah's question, the how was not a question of inquiry. How did it happen? His question was rather one of astonishment, of amazement at the deplorable condition of the city of Jerusalem. He was not seeking a reason for this desolation. He knew the reason. He was given the prophecy time and time again to warn the people of their incoming doom. You see, Judah was the smaller of the two cities. When Israel split and divided into two kingdoms, Judah was the small one, but it had the city of Jerusalem, which was a beautiful city. It had the magnificent temple of God. This was the center of attraction for the Jewish people. People came from all over the world, travelers, rich and well-favored. This was the place to stop. But the people neglected God's warning time and time again. And so they were taken captive by the Babylonians, King Nebuchadnezzar, who destroyed the city and its magnificent temple. Here we see Jeremiah questioned, how could what used to be this now? A city that used to be so populous and popular is now unpopular. A city that used to be honored is now despised. A city that used to be so glorious and beautiful is now covered in darkness, in anger. A city that used to be joyous is now filled with sadness and grief. How? A city that used to have dominion is now in subjection. That used to be the one that conquered, but now is the conquered. A city that used to be so great among many nations is now enslaved, taken captive, and lying in ruins. The tables were turned, and anyone looking on would feel discouraged. If you were a city, a resident of Jerusalem then, you would be discouraged. Can you imagine waking up to find the City of Lights, Las Vegas, one morning, just suddenly looking like, and nothing against Kenosha, but becoming the city of Kenosha. I didn't know any other city around, so that's the one that comes closest. Can you imagine the city of Milwaukee waking up and you go there tomorrow and it's the city of Portage? Or it's a city, no lights, no high scrapers, no hotels, nothing is going on. The roads are in ruins, dusty roads. How would you feel? Or you wake up and there's no roof over your head. The top is gone. Water is inside your house. How would you feel? Would you be discouraged? I bet you would. If we're humans living on this planet, yes, we get there sometimes. Some people would even opt out on the option of living. Looking on what used to be and facing the reality of what is can lead anyone to discouragement and depression. See, Jeremiah had to endure such grim reality, which led to his feelings of discouragement that he shared in Lamentations chapter 3. Even in the book of Jeremiah, you'll see him crying out. We can hear him lamenting about his feelings of discouragement. And so in Lamentations, we see there are three basic reasons for his feelings. One, he felt alone and abandoned. See, he was the solo prophet of his day. And in Lamentations 3, verses 2 to 6, you see Jeremiah saying, "Oh, he has led me and made me walk in darkness, not in light. Surely he has turned his hand against me time and time again throughout the day. He has set me in a dark place as a grave, like those that are dead of old, that are quite forgotten. Nobody knows who or what they were." Jeremiah felt alone and abandoned. Anyone ever felt that way before? Just alone, you're going through so much, and it's like you are the only one all by yourself in this dungeon, in this pit, all by yourself, going through your own crises in life. Like no one cares. Who can I call on? Who can I share this with? Imagine a young person. Some of you may have gone through this. You felt young. You were 25, and you were young and beautiful, handsome or beautiful. And you had the hopes of having a wonderful family, you know, following up what is expected, the norms. You go to school, you go to college, and you graduate, and you marry, and you have a wonderful family, and you have kids, and you are going to live happily ever after. But here you are, 16, 20 years later, divorced, all alone at home. The kids are gone. That's discouragement. That's discouraging. Or some of you may have great aspirations. You had your career booming, and you are going to be the next CEO for this company. And here you are today, unemployed, looking for a job. Or maybe the church. You started a new church plant, and you had all these energy, and everybody had these great missions and goals, and what we're going to do for this community. But here we are, feeling alone in this community. Abandoned, maybe. Does the conference care about our mission, our goal? Does anyone care? See, feeling alone and abandoned can be very disheartening to anyone. And it's during these times that we all need comfort and direction. To whom do you turn when you feel this way? Jeremiah also felt chained. He felt trapped. Lamentations chapter 3, 7 through 9. "He has hedged me about that I cannot get out. He hath made my chains heavy. Even when I cry and shout, he shuts out my prayer. He has blocked my ways with hewn stone." Again, have you ever felt trapped? You're in a situation, you want to get out, you want to escape, but you feel boxed in. There's no way to get out. You try this, there's a mountain behind you, and you go this way, and there's an army coming after you. And then you try this way, and there's a Red Sea right in front of you, trapped, boxed in, locked in. Jeremiah was literally trapped because he was thrown in a dungeon, in a pit, in a mud hole, left alone. And many of us, the least little discomfort, we feel like we are trapped. We're boxed in. Young people today, take away their cell phone, their iPad, and oh my gosh, I'm trapped. The world is over. Or switch their bedtime, move it from 10:30 to 9 o'clock. And the world is over. But many of us, we are trapped by our circumstances. For some, it's financial. You get this credit card offer, and it looks good, 7,000 limit, and you're excited. I can get the vacation of my dream, or I can buy that electronic that I always wanted. And before you know it, you're $6,999 balance spending. And you've been trying to pay it off for the last 16 years. And it just doesn't seem to go away. Trapped. So my story, as I shared my praise and prayer requests with my mom, she's going through her sickness, but here I am, I'm in school, and I wanted to go home. I wanted to go and help care for her. You know, I'm not a doctor, so I can't do much, but at least be there for her. But I'm in school. And not only am I in school, I'm not using my own funds to pay for it. And so there's a student loan, and if I get up and quit school at this point, you got to pay that back. Trapped by my own circumstances. And feelings like these can lead to discouragement and depression. Feeling chained or trapped, but it's during these times that we need comfort and we need redirection. To whom do you turn when you feel this way? See, David knows this feeling all too well. We know David's story so many times. David felt boxed in. And we see in Psalm 69, when he cried out, "Oh my God, why have you forsaken me? Where is God?" And I know many of us, we cry out in those moments. And it seems like we're just left alone in a pit all by ourselves. Can't get out. But then there's no one. And what makes it worse was, here's a prophet, Jeremiah, who trusted God, who was pleading on God's behalf to God's people for them to change. He was in this position. And he not only felt discouraged, alone, and abandoned, he not only felt trapped, but this is the lowest place that you can get to, and that is to feel that God is against you. In verse 11 through 18, we see him crying out, "He has turned aside my ways and torn me in pieces. He has made me desolate. He has bent his bow and set me up as a target for an arrow. He has caused the arrows to pierce my loins, and I have become the ridicule of all my people." And he went on and on. "My strength and my hope have perished from the Lord." He felt God was against him. And I think that's the lowest point we can get to as Christians, you know. But it's okay if we get to that point. We're being real with God. I feel forsaken. I don't know. I think I may have shared this story with you back in Salt Lake City when I felt that way. You know, I've always had faith in God. I grew up as a child in the church. I didn't have a biological father. Didn't know him. He existed. But God became my father. I went to God for everything. That's how I was raised. If there's a little bite on my finger, I went to God for it. And it was going to be healed. You know, if I had a problem with math, I go to God. And I'll get in my dream. I would see myself, the teacher calling me, solving the problem on the board. I get the answer. That was the God I grew up trusting. He became my everything. But I got to Salt Lake City, my husband's job. He moved, got an offer as a pastor there. And we packed up and got there. So now I'm out of a job. Used to work in California. Now we're in Salt Lake City. No job. We're still on visa. So no access to loans to go back to school. So financially barren. No money, no jobs. And here we are. This was, 9, 10 years being married. No children. We just short sailed our home in California to take this offer because the market was down. So you couldn't even sell it. You just have to sell it for whatever they would pay for. So, and this was my daily cries. "God, you have forsaken me. You are now against me. I have nothing. No jobs, no career, no home, no kids, no money, no nothing." Discouraged, felt that God was against me. And I remember that day I went out, it was like today. It was a November day, the snow had fallen, the sun was bright in the sky, no clouds in the sky. But it was a beautiful cold day. And I was at that point, rock bottom. "God, this is the person who I always turn to. And you're not answering me, so you have to be against me. Something is wrong." And I was losing faith. My handle on that cord of faith, the thread was so thin. And I remember I said, "I'm going to go outside. I'm going to spend 60 minutes standing. And I'm not asking for a miracle. I'm not asking. I know you said it's a faithless generation that asks for a sign. But God, I'm right there right now. I am this faithless generation. And I'm going to ask for a sign. I'm not asking for a baby at this moment. I just need a sign to say you are with me. You are for me. You're not against me." And I remember I went out there. I don't like cold, but I was out there. in the cold. And I said, I need a sign in the sky. And I didn't say what it should be. Should it be a bird, an angel? Didn't matter. I just need something to pass in the sky. If it was a cloud, because there was no cloud. So even if a cloud appeared, that would be enough for my faith. I need something in the sign to tell me you are for me. You are not against me, because that's my feeling right now. And I remember standing there, 59th minute. I turned to walk away. But I said, I have a minute to go, but I'm ready to walk away. And this is where I was going to give up on faith, give up on everything. No kidding. I looked up. That would be my last looking up. And there was a blimp, like an air, one of those air thing that advertises a car. And I think it was advertising either Lexus or Nissan or Toyota, one of those cars. It just appeared over my head. I didn't see it coming from the east, north, or west. It was there up there. And that was enough for me to know God was not against me. He's for me. And that kept me going until today. I'll never forget that moment. But you can get to that point where you feel God is against you. There's so much going on. So much. You had all these great plans, all these great mission and goals and objectives, things you want to do for God and do for your family. But it's just not working out. And you feel like God was against you. Jeremiah was on fire for God. He was on fire. He wanted to see his people bloom. But they didn't listen. I know everything is happening. He's in a pit. God has to be against me. That was his feeling. My strength and my hope is perished from God. Anyone felt that way? Like you are target, always targeted. Constantly being ridiculed, constantly just going through the throughs and the throughs, constantly. And you may have asked God, why are you against me? Where are you, God? Some of you, you had big dreams, you know, be the governor of Wisconsin or the mayor, to be a doctor, a pastor, a teacher, whatever it was. And maybe a professor had told you, college is not for you. And you gave up. And here you are struggling what you could have been, and you're not that. Or you prayed for your family to seek God. You prayed night and day. But instead of them coming closer, they've drifted. Some are now atheists. God, are you against me? You prayed for your church. Every day, morning devotion. Some of us fasted night and day. And we're praying for growth. We're praying to see people added daily to the church of God, those that are to be saved. And instead, we see people leaving the church, people going to other places. My hope, my strength, my dreams have perished from the Lord. How have I come to this? See, feeling like God is against you can be very disheartening. But it's during these times that we should seek comfort and redirection. To whom do you turn when you feel everything, even God, is against you? The title of the sermon, as I mentioned, is Standing Strong When Discouraged. How do you stand strong when you experience these feelings? How do you stay strong when you're discouraged? How? I'm going to leave with you three key principles, three things that if you can hold on to during your times of discouragement, and I know some of you, everything is going great right now, so this may not apply to you, but you may know somebody who is going through, even those in California right now, and you want to reach out. These are three key principles that you can use. First, I want you to rehearse your purpose. To guard against discouragement, rehearse your purpose. Lamentations 3:21, and this is my favorite spot in the Bible, 3:21, because even as he was going through, he's going down and down, he made a turn. And his turn was, this I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. Notice the first thing Jeremiah did was to recall, go back. And if possible, to the very beginning. Think about it. When you feel discouraged, remind yourself who you are and who has called you. That's purpose. rehearsing your purpose. The Bible says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet to the nations. Notice this purpose was given before he met obstacles. Before any discouragement, Jeremiah had this prophet, this purpose given to him. Before he was locked up, before he was told what he could do and could not do, he knew his purpose. What's your purpose in life? Do you know your purpose? Why are you here? Why are you on planet Earth? Have you ever questioned, why am I here? Why was I born into this family? What is my purpose for my family? Why am I at this church? What's my purpose here? What's your purpose in life? Have you discovered it as yet? God made us all uniquely and with a purpose for a specific reason and for a specific work. Ellen G. White says, higher than the highest human thoughts can reach is God's ideal for his children. God has a great purpose for you. What's our purpose as Southside Seventh-day Adventist Church? Why were we planted here? Let's revisit our purpose. Alexander Graham Bell was an eminent scientist, inventor, engineer, and innovator. Many of you know his story. He was credited with inventing the very first practical telephone. Both his mother and his wife were deaf. And you would think he would have lost all hope, amounting to nothing much. But no, he remained true to his passion, which fueled his purpose, and he invented the very first telephone. And after he had even put his idea about a telephone, he was told, we have no use for that toy. That's a toy. But he was not discouraged. He went on and he did what he wanted to do. He felt that was his purpose. See, when you feel abandoned, alone, trapped, chained, and even being against, remember your purpose. Remember why you were created. Don't give up on you. You were born with a purpose. With a purpose, for a purpose. Search and discover. If you have not yet discovered your purpose, spend some time today and just discover. Search yourself. Explore. What's my God-given potential? What's my God-given abilities? What's my God-given purpose? And how am I supposed to use these to fulfill my divine purpose? When you feel discouraged, how to stand strong? Rehearse your God-given purpose. The second principle is, how do you stand strong when discouraged? Remember God's personhood. Remember who God is. 22 to 25, same Lamentations chapter 3. Through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Love that song. Great is your faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, and I forget the rest. But great is his faithfulness unto us. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I hope in him. The Lord is good to those who wait for him. What is Jeremiah saying here? In spite of our feelings, in spite of our discouragement, we can remember God's mercy. We can remember that God is compassionate, that God never fails. His compassion never fails. Even when we feel alone, abandoned, chained, boxed in, and against, God's mercy is new every morning. I wish there was someone to tell Cynthia that morning, that God's mercy is new every morning. Every morning we awake by his new mercies towards us. God is faithful. You can trust him with your feelings of discouragement. You can trust him with anything. And this is just a reminder. With your very life, when it seems like things is just getting chaotic and it doesn't make sense, you can still trust God with that. When you feel discouraged, just recall times when God has been your strong deliverer. have those faith files. Somebody talked about it. Every day from a kid, whatever it is, build all those times when God came through for you. Make those stacks so you can always pull on one. Whenever you feel discouraged, just pull out one of those faith files and remember, recall who God is. Recall the time when that near miss accident, that truck was about to take you out, but God intervened. Remember those moments when you went through surgery and everybody said you wouldn't make it, but God came in, the great physician. Recall who God is. He's faithful. He's great. The times when you felt your pantry was empty, you had nothing to eat, but you got home and you made a wonderful meal from that empty pantry. God is faithful. He's Jehovah Jireh, my provider. See, during a lesson study at church, the question was asked, in your time of discouragement, what is your favorite scripture? What scripture do you pull on? And a young man said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, Psalm 23:1. A middle-aged woman said, God is my refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble, Psalm 46:1. Another woman said, in this world you shall have tribulations, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. John 16, 33-35. And then there was this old Mr. John, 80 years old, head filled with white hair, dark black skin. He stood up and he said, with as much strength as he could mutter in his voice, he said, and it came to pass. 85 times in the Bible. So the class started to chuckle a little and thinking that Mr. John was losing it. His memory was getting the best of him. But when the snickering stopped, he said, you see, at 30, I lost my job, left with 6 hungry mouths to feed and my wife. I didn't know how I would make it. At 40, my eldest son was killed overseas in war. It knocked me down. At 50, my house burnt down to the ground. Nothing was saved from it. At 60, my wife of 40 years had cancer, and it slowly ate her away. And we cried together many nights on our knees in prayer. And at 65, she died. I still miss her today. The agony I went through in each of these situations was unbelievable. I wondered, where was God? But each time I looked in the Bible, I saw one of those 85 verses that said, and it came to pass. I felt God was telling me my pain and my circumstances were also going to pass and that God would get me through it. Mr. John could hope in his God that his circumstances would pass. Jeremiah also hoped in his God. He said, the Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I hope in him. We're still in Lamentations. The Lord is good to those that wait for him. Great is his faithfulness to me. And we see David, the psalmist, he reminds us of the same thing. He too went through his struggles. But we see in the Psalms over and over, praise the Lord, from the rising of the sun to the going down of the same. God is worthy to be praised. It is the same God who delivers us, who rescues us. He talks about when God steps down and darkness filled the earth, but God was there to deliver him. How about you? Will you hope in God when you feel alone, abandoned, trapped, targeted? Will you stand strong amidst your discouragement, knowing who God is? I recommend to you that you will remember God's faithfulness. Remember who God is. Remember his personhood when you're going through. So you're going to recall your purpose. Rehearse your purpose. Remember who God is. And finally, I want you to reflect on God's plan for your life. How do you stand strong? Reflect on God's plan for you. William Carey, who is called the father of modern missions, he began his missionary career in India in 1793. He served the Lord in that country for 40 years, never once returning to his home in England. And throughout those years, he translated portions of the Bible into over a dozen Indian languages. But one afternoon, after 20 years of hard labor, A fire ravaged through his printing plant and his warehouse. And all the printing equipment, all his manuscripts were destroyed. Of course, in those days, there were no backup files, no computers, no copies. And many people would have been devastated over this loss. But William Carey wrote, "The ground must be labored over again. We are not discouraged. We have all been supported under the affliction and preserved from discouragement. To me, the consideration of the divine sovereignty and wisdom has been very supporting." And then he quoted from Psalm 46, verse 10. "The Lord reminds me, be still and know that I am God. This is my mission, and I will continue to do it." See, William Carey, he reflected on God's plan for his life. He knew what his purpose, and he knew God's plan for his life. And so he could remain still amidst the circumstances. Lamentations 3:26, it says, "It is good that one should hope and wait quietly for the salvation of God." Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you an expected end." Notice God's plan is for peace. So when we see wars and all these things going on, there's an enemy of peace who is trying to stop God's will for our lives. God is never out to get you, but he's always out to save you. God's plans for you is to have a hopeful end. Do you know what that means? With God, your future is bright. Even though your present may seem dark, with God, your future is bright. You can be sure that God has a plan for you. Sometimes he allows you these setbacks in your life because he wants you to experience the comebacks. Sometimes he allows us to fall because he wants to raise you up. Sometimes he allows these transient moments of entrapment because he wants you to give you that eternal freedom. I know when you get discouraged, you feel that you're far away from God and God is against you. But you can call upon God. You can pray. That's what he says. "Call on me, seek my face, and you will hear from me. You will seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all your heart, and I will be found of you." God has a hopeful plan for our lives. Even when we're taken in captivity, just reflect, just remember God's plan for your life. Again, "For I know the thoughts that I have towards you, thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you a hopeful and an expected end." So how do you stand strong? I'm closing. When discouraged, rehearse your purpose. What is it? Why were you created? What's God's purpose for you? Pull on those faith files. Remember who God is, our deliverer, our savior, the God of gods, the Lord of lords. He is creator, the one who fails not, his compassion. Great is his faithfulness. Remember God's personhood. And finally, remember the plans that God has for you. They're plans for peace and a hopeful future. And after you've done all that, I beg of you, stand. Stand amidst your discouragement. Stand strong in God. Stand strong. So I'm going to make a quick appeal at this point. And this is, as I said, this is my devotion. God speaking to me through my circumstances. And I don't know if any of you are going through anything that makes you discouraged. And you're wondering, does God really care about what we're going through? It may be personal, it may be your family, it may be jobs, it may be the church. As a church, I know we get discouraged sometimes. But God cares. Oh, yes, he cares. I know he cares. He's close to the brokenhearted. And he saves those who are crushed in spirit. So if there's anyone you are going through, and you've gotten to the point where you felt alone, abandoned, or you even felt boxed in, you can't escape your circumstances. Things just keep happening one after the other. And maybe some of us have gotten to the point where we feel forsaken, like God is really against me. He's out to get me. If there's anyone going through that, I just want you to stand. We're going to pray together. We're going to ask the church to pray for each other, for encouragement, so that we can all stand strong amidst this discouragement. We can pull on those faith files. Remember our purpose. Church, I want you to pray for our members. So at this point, I'm just going to ask, we can get in groups of threes, you know, hold hands, that touch, that empowering touch to say, I am here for you. I understand. I've been there. And we can do this together as long as we keep trusting in God, keep standing. So let's stand. We'll just get in quickly groups of threes and we'll just pray for each other. You see those who are standing, just remember them, bring them in your prayers. And I can join you. You just pray with them. Father God, we thank you for the cross. We thank you for hope, for your compassions, for your mercy. We thank you for your faithfulness to us. And so, God, as we leave your courts, but never from your presence, we pray that you will go before us, go with us. And whatever the circumstances that may come at us, the darts that may be thrown at us, God, that we can stand strong knowing that you are with us. Keep us in your care. Be with those who are going through the various issues and all that's happening in California, God. Those who have suffered loss, that you will bring them comfort, that they too can reach out and call and touch you and know you are right there, God. Surround us all with your love and your mercy. Bless this church in a marked way, God. Help us that we will be strengthened, and that as we go through this community, that we will reach souls who need to know about you, God, so that your coming will be hastened and we can all go home to be with you forever. We long for your coming, but we wait, and we hope that when you come, God, you will find faith on earth, faith in our lives, so that you can make that declaration, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord." This is our prayer with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen.